Good morning. If you allow me, can I pray for you this morning? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we take this time. Life is made up of time, and time is made up of moments. And we don't want to let this moment go by without inviting your presence with us today. Lord, I'd ask in the name of Jesus that this won't just be another time of church, but you would do something extraordinary in our hearts. And I don't know what that would be for each individual here, but Holy Spirit, you do the work. You touch the hearts. You renew the minds. I would just ask, Lord God, that we would just come with a spirit of expectancy for you to do something incredible in our lives this morning. Maybe it's a touch, maybe it's a shift, maybe it's something we let go of, maybe it's something we move towards. Whatever that might be, Lord, you speak to our hearts and let our hearts be opened. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Well, you know, one of Orchard's values is story, and we've had this opportunity these past few weeks to explore different stories in the art of film. Adam Mock led us off a couple weeks ago, and Ben rocked us last week. And this week, I'm going to be exploring the film 127 Hours. Raise your hand if you've seen the film. Yeah, okay, handful of you guys. This film was nominated for Best Picture, and James Franco, who stars in the film, was also nominated for Best Actor. But it was based on the incredible true story of a man named Aaron Ralston. Let me give you a quick glimpse into the life of Aaron Ralston. He was an experienced hiker and climber, and according to him, he was the type of guy who looked in the mirror and said to himself, I can do anything. He was that type of guy, I can do anything I put my mind to. He was the type of guy who would say, I am a man with a plan. And he was also the guy who would say things like, things will always work out in my favor. I'm confident of that. And that's why on April 26, 2003, this 27-year-old, all-around extreme outdoor sportsman, set out on a day of mountain climbing, hiking, and biking in a remote southeast area of Utah. And what he did was, he did this without telling a single soul where he was going. Well, why would somebody do that? Because in the words of Aaron, he believed he was invincible. Now, drifting alone in the canyons of San Rafael Desert where he went, I did a little research on San Rafael Desert. It's one of the remote deserts that we have in the U.S., and it was actually the last mapped space on our continent that was actually mapped and put in a map because it is extremely remote. If somebody gets lost in the San Rafael Desert in those canyons, it could take years without finding them. But this gentleman, Aaron Ralston, said, you know what, I'm going to go and explore this area by myself without telling a soul. And he presumed really quickly that life can get out of control quickly. Can the church say amen to that? Isn't that true? Life can get out of control quickly, just like that. And matter of fact, let me show you a clip of how easy life went out of control for Aaron Ralston. Check this out.
Thank you. This is insane!
And can the church say, ouch? I mean, can you feel the despair? Life was going fine, and in that moment, it went out of control. And I picked this movie today because I personally believe I have a lot in common with Aaron Ralston. Not because I like rock climbing or mountain climbing or cave exploration, but I picked this movie because I feel like I've also been caught between a rock and a hard place before. Of course, not literally, but places in my life, places where I felt stuck, where I could not move. Places in my life, like Aaron, that put me in a challenging predicament where I felt stuck. Dark circumstances, no way out, calling out and realizing no one's there to help. Trying to fight a good fight, and trying to fight a good fight at the faith, forget being a pastor or not, just being a man, trying to fight the good fight of faith, and nothing's happening. Calling out to Jesus, and I get nothing in return. I can relate being stuck between a rock and a hard place. And see, like Aaron, I believe all of us can relate to this, that, you know, life is fast, and life was really fast for Aaron Ralston before life under the rock. Life before the rock, life was quick for Aaron. He was busy. He was on the move. Life before the rock for Aaron, and if you watch the movie beforehand, Aaron was constantly on the move. He was single. He was by himself, moving and shaking. You know, the beginning, the bringing preview where his mom was trying to call him. You know, a lot of times Aaron would say in a story, family was trying to call him, but you know what? Life was good for Aaron. Life was easy. He would just go, you know what? I can call mom later. You know, he missed his sister's wedding, who he grew up with, and he goes, you know what? You know what? I can connect with her at a different time. He wasn't a brash guy, but you know what? He just, life was on the move. Life was easy. Life was fun. And in our human experience, all of us like that. And that's the way life is. We kind of think sometimes we're indestructible. Life is moving and shaking. Nothing could happen like that. But there was that moment, music on, in his zone, doing what he loved to do. And one slip with his weight on that rock, and his life spun out of control and took a major turn in his life. Life before the rock, then boom, all of a sudden, life under the rock. You see, Aaron's story from this point on isn't just a physical story. It's an emotional and psychological story. Trapped for 127 hours with a tremendous amount of pain. And as the movie shows, in this 127 hours, Aaron's life was moving and shaking, and in an instant, Aaron's life stopped and he was stuck. Truly between a rock and a hard place. Confronted with despair, confronted with pain, confronted with darkness. His hope, wondering when it first happened, his hope lost. Calling out, no one's listening. Wondering, in that 127 hours, he wonders if his dreams were gone, his hope is gone. His predicament isn't just challenging him physically. As you see within this 127 hours, this predicament is challenging the essence of his being. Deep reflection starts to set in during this 127 hours. Realizing if he doesn't make it out, he starts to reflect about that and realizing all the times he never answered his mom's call, missing his sister's wedding, treating people maybe not the best. He starts to cherish the memories, the time with his father looking over the canyon. That's what happens sometimes, life underneath the rock. We start to become very reflective. And you see in Aaron's story, he's constantly battled. It's 127 hours. Do I fight or do I give up? Waning back and forth. Do I fight or do I give up? And you see him teetering and tottering back and forth. Do I fight or give up? And let me tell you something. Life underneath the rock, when you are stuck and life comes crashing on you, it challenges the very essence of who you are. It brings it all out. When you are stuck and you cannot move, and that was happening with Aaron, it was challenging, and he was reflecting the very essence of who he was, what he was made of. See, life underneath the rock can even challenge the very essence of who we believe God is. Because when we're trapped and we're stuck and we can't move and we wonder where in heaven's name is Jesus, because he sure isn't answering, and I'm in pain and I'm in torment and I feel stuck and there is no answer, the very essence of who God is gets challenged. Now, none of us maybe cannot relate to Aaron physically being stuck in a canyon and that type of predicament. But we can relate to the emotional turmoil that he may have felt in a rock in a hard place. Because I know in this community together that there is people here whose faith is challenged. And for some of you here today, just because we're in church, your faith is teetering on being lost. A place where you have felt weak or discouraged or frustrated because of life underneath the rock. A place where you felt despair or you've been confused. A place where you feel that God is not answering your prayers and you're wondering, God, where are you? I'm here underneath this rock and you're not answering my prayer. That rock could come in many forms. It could come like in the name of a job loss instantly. You had money and now you're wondering how to pay the bills, how to take care of your family. Your life had spun out of control because now you're caught between a rock and a hard place. Heavy marriage issues. I've been here 2 years. I've heard the stories. People to come and Pastor Jamie, things were going okay, I thought, and then boom, my life is being spun out of control. My wife's leaving me. My husband cheated on me. Life being spun out of control. Feelings of being alone or single. Life underneath the rock. Rejection, loneliness, you name it. Family issues. Death in the family. Some of you, life underneath the rock, you're the one who's strong in your family, and everybody comes to you expecting you to be the strong one, and you are tired, and you feel stuck. You're tired of being the strong one. Is someone ever going to listen to me? Life underneath the rock. Secrets, addictions, is life underneath the rock. Suffering, pain, you name it. It could be emotional, physical, psychological. All of these boulders fall on top of us and we feel stuck. And like Aaron, we're wondering what to do. You know, we're not dead, but we certainly don't feel alive anymore. Something inside is missing. And that was Aaron Ralston's In a Dialogue. He was wondering the same thing. That rock fell on him, and on the fifth day, with only 500 milliliters of water, exhausted and all other options, he started to lose faith. It took its toll. He was discouraged. After a while, he said he had a little bit of a harness in his bag because when the rock fell on him, it was almost like he was on his tippy toes. And so he had to make this makeshift harness and put it around the rock and kind of hang there to try to find some kind of relief. And he'd occasionally get a little bit of rest here and there. But after resting on the fifth day, he lost faith. Suffering took its toll, and he was discouraged, and he lost the fight. And he said what he did was he had this little, he left his Swiss Army knife at home, and he had this little dull made-in-China knife, and he took it out, and that's the knife he was chipping away at 5 days on this rock, chipping away and chipping away. And finally, after the fifth day, all options are gone. He carves Aaron Ralston into the wall. And he had a video camera. I forgot to mention, he had a video camera with him the whole time documenting the experience. And that part's true in the story. He marks his name and then gives his last goodbyes to his mom and his family and his friends. And then he carves his death at that time. He took his last sleep on this harvest. Sleep was hard. All hope is lost, and he was ready to die. Life underneath the rock took its toll. He lost 40 pounds, physically exhausted, emotionally, all that stuff was bringing about missed opportunities, the love he never shared. And he was ready to die. At that moment, he had a dream, he said. Now, Aaron was single, didn't have a family, didn't have children. He said at that moment he had an epiphany. His right hand there, and he said he had an epiphany of a little boy who was his son running up to him and jumping into his arms and giving him a hug. And there was so much love that he felt in this dream and this epiphany that he had for a son, that he woke up out of this dream and he had an idea. He started to have a fight again. Something happened. He experienced this love in this dream, this epiphany. And he had a dream. He says, you know what? If I crack and break all the bones in this right arm that's stuck, if I break all the bones completely, because you have to hang, get off that harness, and then fall and break it. And he would take this dull, made-in-China knife that was already been chipped away for 5 days, dull as could be, take it and carve his arm off. And then hopefully put it in a tourniquet, walk out of the San Rafael Desert, belay down these cliffs, and hopefully make it out. But it was the first sign of hope if he just carved this out and broke his arm and carved his arm off. Matter of fact, check this clip out. I'm just kidding. Listen, the orchard, we do things like that, but you know what I say? Maybe not, you know. But the fact is, that's a true part of the story. And that's what Aaron did. He sacrificed something. He had to let go of something. And that was his arm. And eventually he was found, and he found hope. He fought. And he took an act of faith. Let me cut my arm off. And he did do that. And he belayed his way down and found, and eventually somebody found him. But let me take a moment for you to share with you a story from the gospel that parallels Aaron Ralston's story. If you permit me, in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, let me read. It says, a large crowd followed Jesus and pressed around him. And understand this, in the life of Jesus, it was either kind of a this or that. A lot of Jesus either by himself, with his disciples, or around tons of people all the time. And this was one of those times. A large crowd followed him and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered. Everybody say suffered. She had suffered a great deal. Not a little bit. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. And she spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. this woman was life underneath the rock. For 12 long years, she'd been sick with this issue. See, it's different. Sometimes if we have an issue in our life and it's 5 months, we can kind of wing it. And if it's a year dealing with the same issue, sometimes we feel like we can get by. But this woman is dealing with the same issue underneath the rock for 12 long years. Let me put that in perspective. That's over 4,000 days, over 140 months, over 600 weeks, and over 100,000 days of dealing with the same issue. And her issue was an issue of blood. This woman literally was caught between a rock and a hard place. And it wasn't just a physical one. Like Aaron, this wasn't just a physical issue. Understand this. Jewish law, let me read you what one theologian had to say about the Jewish law. Because the law said that a woman who had this kind of issue, a bleeding issue, she was not to have any kind of relationship with anybody because of this issue. And remember, in Jewish law, that law was taken serious. So here is a woman, which wasn't working for her, and then having an issue of blood, that didn't help. So she was called ceremonially unclean. For 12 years, she bore the emotional and psychological baggage of being what they would call untouchable. So wherever she sat, it was declared unclean. Whoever she touched, they would be declared unclean. Everywhere she went, it was like unclean woman. So let alone dealing with the issue that she had to deal with, she's dealing with the emotional and psychological effects of being an outcast. Don't miss that in this story. That's life underneath the rock. It's not just always a physical one. It affects you psychologically and emotionally. And for this woman, that meant no kisses or hugs or intimacy with her spouse. That meant she couldn't prepare family food in the kitchen. That means she couldn't do any housework. She couldn't be a wife. She couldn't be a mommy. She could not work. She could not touch her kids. Nothing she touched. She was isolated for 12 years. Life underneath the rock. I mean, it's interesting. She was so defined by her this dysfunction of hers. That's why we call her the woman with the issue of blood. That particular issue started to define her and who she was. You see, issues and problems, when you have to deal with them over and over, and that same issue over and over, and you battle it, and you have success, but then you have loss, and you're battling it over and over and over, it drains even the most strong. It drains even the most courageous. That is the human experience. Life underneath the rock, no matter how strong you are, no matter how courageous you are, no matter what type of upbringing you have, when you've got to deal with that same issue over and over again, it will drain the best of us. The best of us. And it was no different for this woman. Over and over again, year after year. And that issue doesn't have to be a blood issue. That issue could be an alcohol issue. That issue could be a drug issue. That issue could be a workaholic issue. That issue could be a gambling issue, a depression issue, an anger issue, a physical issue, an emotional abuse issue. I don't know what that issue is, but that issue, some of us have been fighting over and over and over again, and it comes back at us and comes back at us and comes back at us, and we feel like the same thing. We have been stuck with that issue. Life underneath the rock. And that's what it was like for this woman. Physically, she was under here. Emotionally, she had this baggage. Psychologically, she was isolated. She was defined by her dysfunction. She lost hope. But this is what the scriptures say in verse 27. But when she heard about that name, Jesus, everybody had opinion about that name. Is he real? Is he this? Is he that? But when she heard about that name, Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought to herself in her inner dialogue, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Verse 29, immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once, Jesus realized that this power had gone out from him. And he turned around to the big crowd and he asked the question, who touched me? This power just left me. Who touched me? Somebody just touched me right now. Who touched me? And his disciples respond, you see the people crowding against you, and yet you ask, who touched me? It was a moment of saying, Jesus, don't you get it? Everybody's touching you. They're all pressing around you. They're all clamoring for you and touching you. What are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? The whole crowd is trying to touch you. But Jesus kept on looking. He goes, no. Somebody touched me differently. Jesus kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the truth. And Jesus gave her a vision. Jesus gave her vision, life beyond the rock. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, and you are freed from your suffering. T.D. Jakes, I like what he says. He goes, sometimes we do not believe God effectively because we have all the options in the world. Why need God? Sometimes God needs to close every single door in our life so sometimes we can see him effectively and appropriately. Faith is born out of man and woman's ability when it fails sometimes. Faith starts, he says, at the point of human limitation, and that's where she was at. She was at the end of her, that was Aaron Ralston's story. That was the woman with the issue of blood. There was nothing left to do. She spent all money she had on doctors. She was broke. No doctors were helping. No family was helping. All she could do was look ahead. This woman hit rock bottom. But when she hit rock bottom, that was just the right place for God. That was just the right place. Sometimes when we hit that rock bottom, it's the right place. Because you got to understand this. When she's sitting here and that whole crowd is around Jesus and she sees him from afar, you don't think everything in her being is telling her, you know what, why bother? First of all, everybody looks at me as unclean. I've got the scars emotionally. I've got the scars psychologically. I've got physical issues that they might see. I'm bleeding. And she sees him far off. And do you not think it would be easy to give up hope and say, let me just go back to the rock? But this woman didn't. And you got to give this woman credit. She saw him and said, you know what? I'm going to fight through the crowd. The crowd may reject me, but I'm going to fight through the crowd. And you know what? Everything in me is going to say, you know what? Let me turn back. Let me turn back. I might step on people. I might look at people looking at me funny, but you know what? Let me step through the crowd. And they're all clamoring, and there's a point to say, you know what? My issues, I'm tired. I'm sick of this. You know what? It's not worth it. Let me just go back to the rock. But she saw Jesus and said, I'm going to continue to fight through the crowd. And she fights and fights and she moves and she's fighting and she's clamoring. And there's people she's got to get through, big guys that try to get through. And she moves. And understand this fight. Because when you've truly been between a rock and a hard place, you want to give up hope. But she fights and she moves. And she moves and she keeps on through this crowd and she struggles. And you don't think for one moment she wants to go back? That's part of life. It's the human experience. I'm tired. I'm drained. Is Jesus, is this really going to help? Is this Jesus we talk about? Is he real? But she fights in her faith and she says yes until finally she makes the last hurdle. And the Bible declares she touches the dirtiest part of the garment. She touches the stitch, the dirtiest part, the hem of the robe. She touches the stitch. And the Bible declares she was made well. The rock or Jesus. And that was her life story. And she was willing not to give up hope. And what's amazing to me about this story is how many people are touching Jesus. Jesus knew who touched her, touched him. He knew that. He knew it was that woman. But he's making a point. Because so many people are actually brushing against him and talking and brushing against and talking to him. Some people are touching him, but no. This woman touched me differently. I said, how poignant is that for all of us who've been in church for a long time? Whether we were raised in church or been in church for any significant amount of time. How many of us have been in church, but we can't remember the last time we really touched Jesus Christ? And we do good things. We come, we volunteer, we worship, all good things. We read the scriptures occasionally. We do those things. We give our offering. But when's the last time we really touched him and experienced his power? And for those of us underneath the rock, and are tired of dealing with our same issues over and over again, sometimes we need to get that revelation again and touch Jesus for who he really is. And that power is ready to be released from him. I'm going to have Ben and the worship team come up. And I want us to think about something for a moment before we go into this last song. I don't know what your issues are, but I feel in my spirit there is issues in this room that people have been struggling with for years. Either it's been depression, or some kind of anxiety, some kind of addiction. Some of us, it could be as simple as working so much, and our families are feeling the effects. For some of you, can relate to being that strong one in the family, and you're tired. You're tired of being the strong one all the time. I don't know what your issue is, but I would challenge you today to get a vision of who Jesus really is to you again. Who is he to you? Because it's not just enough to brush against him. He's asking you this morning to really touch him again. Let him give you that life again. That life, and bring the passion and life back into your being. Now, sometimes that takes, like Aaron Ralston had to do, it took a step of faith. It took a sacrifice. It may have taken, you might have to let go of something. You might have to sacrifice something. For Aaron, it literally was his arm to find life again and to find freedom. And he did find that. He did marry and found that son. That epiphany came true. Like the woman, you might have to give up fear. You might have to wonder what people are going to think about you if you gave this up. And some of you need to fight and find your fight again. Whatever that is, when Ben sings, I want you to think about that. For some of you, you can stay right in your spaces. For some of you, I want you to ask to come up here to the altar. And after we're done, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to believe in the name of Jesus Christ that there's going to be deliverance in this room today. And for some of you, you might just need to stand in the gap for somebody who's experiencing life under the rock. And you just might need to stand in the gap for them in prayer. As we sing this song, I want you to think about it. Some of you can make your way up. Some of you, it's okay to stay in your seats. But let God speak to you now, and then we'll pray after. So Heavenly Father, we do come before you. And with every heart open and our minds directed at you, be our vision again, Lord God. Be our clear mental picture of what could be for our lives again. No matter how long or short we have served you, I would ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to come back into the hearts of people this morning. Coming inside church walls isn't enough anymore. Lord, be our vision again. Where we have been stuck in areas and life underneath the rock, Lord, I would ask that you would bring a sense of freedom and healing and deliverance here today. We decree and declare in faith in Jesus' name for weighted hearts to be uplifted today, for addictions to slowly start to be released, for the spirit of heaviness to be let loose, for illnesses and sicknesses to start to leave the body, for emotional and psychological issues to start to be made clear, for burdens that we've carried that would start to weigh less. Father, in Jesus' name, I would ask that the Spirit would renew minds today. May we declare in our hearts that we've been crucified with Christ, that we no longer live, but Christ lives within us. And the life we're going to live in this body, we'll live it by faith in the Son of God. Why? Because you loved us and you gave your life for us. Help us to reconcile that truth. Where there is doubt, where there is tears, where there is mourning, where there is confusion, I would ask to be made lighter today. And I would come and speak against any spiritual darkness that would hold its grips on our life. I speak to that darkness in the name of Jesus, that you have no hold upon God's people anymore. I would ask that the Spirit of light, that the Holy Spirit of God bring deliverance and start that process today. Father, you are hope. When it's all said and done, you are our only hope. So we bring what little faith we have. If we have a lot or a little, and we cast it upon you, and we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, that in due season you would lift us back up, and we cast every care upon you because you care for us. That is what we declare today. That is what we decree over our lives. We ask that in Jesus' name, and we grip that blessing, and we don't let go. In Jesus' name, all God's beloved children said, amen.